the sin affected him the same way that it did any other human being. But he humbled himself. He became obedient even unto death. He became obedient even unto death. The death of the cross, the most horrible death that one could die. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The emphasis is on that death, that horrible death. He was mocked, spit on, slapped, accused of having a devil, crowned with thorns, and nailed to the cross. You and I slapped him. You and I spit on him. You and I did these horrible things. You say, when did we do that? When we rejected and rebelled against God. Listen, to rebel against God and resist the drawing of the Holy Spirit to salvation is slapping God in the face. It's spitting on him. It's doing these other horrible things that we see here. And we're choosing the way of the devil rather than the way of the Lord. His judgment was taken away. Look at Isaiah 11, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Verses 3 and 4, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the right of his eye, or the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. John, the second chapter. John chapter 2, and begin with verse number 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he didn't need to be told. He knew it firsthand. He became a man. He understood all about being a man. He wasn't just sitting on the throne as God. He wasn't just in charge and in control. But he came and he experienced what every man experienced. So, at that time, his judgment was taken away. The emphasis there is, truly, he experienced these things as man. He did not retaliate as God. He didn't retaliate as man. He was as a lamb, dumb before his shearers. He needed not one, that any should testify of man, for he knew what man was, or what was in man, his sinful condition. And by the way, his sinful condition makes man condemned already, right now. He's not going to be condemned. Without Jesus Christ, man is condemned already, and justly so. Remember, Jesus didn't commit himself to them for the slaughter, because he knew it wasn't time yet. He knew, though, that they would take him if he committed himself to them before the time. because of the wickedness of man, because of the resentfulness, because of the jealousy, because of the envy. His life was taken from him. His life was taken from the earth. He endured the cross. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now notice, he looked beyond this life. He looked to the life to come. He experienced this life. He understood it. He understood men. He understood the need of man. And he realized they were condemned eternally. This life was short compared to eternity. He realized that the glory and the rejoicing and the enjoyment of life was in the life to come, not in this life. No wonder Job said that this life was a few days and full of trouble. He knew, he understood. You know why he understood? Because he was gilded and given over under the control of Jesus. And he looked beyond this veil of tears. Moses looked beyond this veil of tears. He saw there's no value in this life. There's no time to enjoy this life. I've been here 80 years. I can't believe that. It was just yesterday. I was a little kid in the state of Kentucky, wondering what I was going to be someday. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross, looking beyond this life and this veil of tears. Lost friend, you need to look beyond this life. And you need to realize you can't get into eternity. You can't get to heaven on your own merits. You just depend and trust in Jesus and what he did to pave the way. He paid your sin debt. He paid my sin debt. And that debt must be paid. It'll either be paid by us trusting Jesus and what he did and the payment he made, or we'll pay it ourselves. We'll pay it ourselves. He laid down his life. Look at John, the 10th chapter, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He laid down his life that he might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Listen, he was able to lay his life down and able to take it up again. He wanted understood that he was paying the payment, meeting that obligation to the penalty of man's sin, your sins and mine. Listen, he wants us to know, to realize, and to understand. It's all about him and what he was able to do. And he did it because he was able to do it. He did it willingly, but he did it because he loved us. He did it because he cared so much. Yet listen, there's nothing that exists that God loves more, that God desires more than man. Because man was created in the image and likeness of God. He was created for God to have fellowship, a relationship and fellowship with. That was the purpose that man was created, that man might please God by returning the love that he had for them. And the sacrifice that he made, the willing sacrifice that he made, the willingness of his suffering, shows and proves how much that he loves man. Above all else. Above all else. And all that he did was for you and me. And he wants us to take it personally. He did. Look here, he personally endured. He personally went to that cross. He personally made that payment. And he did it for you to pay your personal debt. You have a sin debt you must pay as well as the rest of it, everyone else. Each one has a sin debt. And he paid the penalty for that sin on the cross of Calvary when he suffered, bled, and died, when he laid his life down and took it up again. And he did it showing that when one's life goes, it can be raised again, but only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. Now, who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare it? Shall we leave it to modern education? Shall we leave it to the schools and the school boards? And it's certain they're not going to. As a matter of fact, they fight daily to keep from submitting to his righteousness being influenced on mankind. They're constantly coming up with something else that perverts the order that God established. Are they going to present Jesus Christ? Are we going to let them? Shall we leave it to Hollywood and to the movie pictures and all of these things, the entertainment industry? No. Everything they present is opposite to what God would have presented. You say, but there's some good movies. But you watch in those good movies, there's the sinful of man, sinfulness of man that comes out. Shall we leave it to false religionists? Shall we leave it to those who have compromised the word of God? Are they going to do it? No, because they are always finding a better, more convenient way, rather than being obedient to the teachings of the word of God. They're always letting the way that seems right to man rule. Matter of fact, they're letting sinful man rule. That's why the number one world religion is changing their beliefs continually. They're upholding righteousness, but then again, after the pressure comes, they fold and they fold. Just like sodomy. At first, they stood, but then they gave in. And now, over half of a world religion is given over to accepting sodomy. And in the eyes of God, that's the most despicable sin that a human being can commit. And now, they're even condoning the fact, or to them it's the fact, that man can change into a woman and a woman into man. It's coming. It's going to be accepted. And you know who's going to lead the way? The religionists. Who shall declare his generation? Who shall? He shed his blood in purchasing a New Testament church. And he, being the head of that church, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, he has preserved the truth. Did you know the Church of God, scriptural New Testament churches that can trace their lineage back to the time that Jesus built the first church? Did you know that he has preserved the truth of God's word in, through, and by those churches? They're still preserved today. Now that is going too far. Well, that's going as far as the scriptures will hold. Who'll do it? Wait a minute. There's many of them that aren't doing it. There's many of them that are under the leadership of pastors who will read one verse of scripture and palaver for 45 minutes and not feed them on the word of God. Just like our TV spots. The religious community here come, we put gave scripture in ours. And then they come out with their own and they emphasize, we won't Bible thump you. You know what this world needs is to be thumped by the Bible. You know what you and I need is to be thumped by the Bible. Amen. There's nothing out of place with that. That's God's word. That's how he speaks to man. That's how we know the things that we know. Did you know that they used to think the earth was flat? If they'd have just read the Bible, they'd find it was a sphere that was round. They bled the first president to death, thinking that too much blood was why a lot of the diseases that they had. And if they would have just read in the scripture, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and they'd realize they were draining the life out of the individuals. So now they put it back in. Finally, Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and bride say, come. Bride are those that he'll choose out of his scriptural New Testament church, the faithful. And he'll have a wedding. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Amen. Whosoever, not just special chosen ones, but whosoever. Amen. He'll draw all, he draws all men unto him. The Spirit of God deals with man continually throughout his life. So he says, let him come and take of the water of life freely. What shall we declare? His death, burial, and resurrection. Who shall we preach? Jesus Christ and him crucified. What shall we preach? The Holy Scripture, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. But how about all these other religious books of man? The Bible's different than all of them. And if you don't believe that, you just haven't read much of the Bible. Get to reading some of it. The Bible gets saved if you're lost. And if you're backslid and out of the will of God, the Bible gets you to come to scriptural baptism, New Testament church membership. Liable to. Want to be careful, though, because you don't want change. You know, change is not good for you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we shall declare. We shall declare his ascension. He went and made the atonement. He ascended up with his own blood and he poured it out on the altar of God as a covering for the sins of man. And then in Hebrews 7, Verse number 25. We shall preach. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. He's there on the right hand of the Father this morning. He's making intercessions for you and for me. Lost friend, he's there interceding for you. He's there interceding for you, child of God. He's there interceding for you, church member. And then we need to preach his second coming. The signs are all there. Look at John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. He told his New Testament church, his special called out chosen disciples. He says, my Father's house has many mansions. But he said, I go to prepare a special place for you. I go to prepare a special place for you. Is everybody going to be the same and in the same place in heaven? No, Jesus said those mansions aren't good enough. He says, I'm going to make a special place for you, different than the others that are there. Look at Hebrews 9. Verse number 28, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Those who look to him, he shall appear the second time unto salvation. Jesus, is he precious? Yes. He's the most precious individual in the world because he is the one and only individual who can gain us eternal life. He's the only one that can change our eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Remember, John 3:18 says we're condemned already. Condemned already. Why are we condemned already? Because we won't believe in this precious Jesus. Because we won't believe that he came in the flesh. We won't believe that he laid his life down and took it up again. We won't believe that he died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. We won't take it personally, but it must. You must. It's the only hope you've got. It's the only hope mankind has got. And that's not nothing new. It's always been, is, and always will be. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother? So we sing this hymn, the invitation is open to you to come to Jesus. Again, it is not to come to this preacher because I can't take care of your sin. It's not to come to this church because this church can't take care of your sin. All that this preacher can do and this church can do is point you to Jesus, the one who can. He had the power to lay his life down. And he had the power to take it up again. He has the power to cleanse you of your sin. He has the power to take away that eternal condemnation. He has the power to change your destiny from the horrible place of hell to the wonderful place of heaven. But you have to be willing to let him do so. Let him. That's the key. Let Jesus. Let him come into your heart. Not acknowledge him with your head, but open your heart and be willing for him to come in. Be willing for him to control your life. Child of God, the Lord is dealing with you to get your heart right or to get a greater service. You need to let him. Let him have the...